We'll take a look real quick in John chapter 3, and as a reminder of the memory work, I do appreciate the, I'm reluctant in here to, maybe I shouldn't be, but put people on the spot about standing up saying, but I have gotten good positive feedback from you, even privately, even somebody else this morning, talking about how it's encouraged them to memorize scripture again. So that's a good thing. So we're grateful for that. But if you've been following along, we started in verse 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then for this week, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then next week would be verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Boy, that's quite a different view that God has about Jesus and the world has about Jesus, isn't it? You know, the world looks at Christianity as all they're interested in is condemning people. Well, his Son wasn't sent to condemn the world. His Son was sent to save the world. And so when someone brings that up, you know, so maybe at your job, they say, well, you know, Christianity is too harsh. It's too, hey, Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to forgive. And that's a great verse to help remind us of that. Go ahead and turn to now to Matthew chapter number 7. While you're turning there, I wanted to mention this and express this. Please continue to pray for Brother Bob and Mrs. Denise Barnes. Many of you know them. Some of you may not. They tended here faithfully, then with COVID, and then some severe health problems struck Brother Barnes that he is dealing with, not COVID, but other types of health problems, and he's had to have certain things taken care of in order to proceed with further treatments. And so I was able to see him on Friday, and he just very much wanted to let folks know that they appreciate the prayers. He is able to watch services and all, even online in the hospital right now. Still in St. Francis Hospital, hoping to maybe get out early this week. So just pray for him. And I also wanted to express from him that he definitely appreciated all the prayers and support from people here at the church. So continue to pray for him if you would. Matthew chapter number 7. If you remember, last week we did kind of a part one of two parts here. And again, we're still on the theme of the Bible, but the last week was part one. The Bible gives us wisdom, and we looked at Solomon and Solomon's prayer for wisdom, and how God tells us in James chapter number 1, we can pray for wisdom. And of course, wisdom comes from the Word of God. We have God's Word. We looked at Hebrews chapter 5. It talks about how the more skillful we become in the Word of God, the more discerning we become to discern between good and discern between bad. And that's, I think, a good launching point for what wisdom is, the ability to discern. And there is a lot of facets to it, but I think that's a good easy way to explain it. But today we're looking at part two here of the same concept. The Bible gives us wisdom, and we're going to wind up back in Proverbs. But to kind of introduce what we are, to introduce the lesson, we're going to start in Matthew chapter number 7. And the reason, just to, again, to attach you a little bit to the younger parts of our Sunday school program, the reason that I attach a story like this is because our teachers, especially the younger kids they like stories, don't they? And God gave us a lot of stories in the Bible, didn't he? And I think that's on purpose. I don't think it's unspiritual to study the story. No, God gave it to us for a lot of reasons. They're visual. They help us understand, and they also are great for little kids to connect to what God has to say in His Word. But in Matthew chapter number 7, verse 24, this is the end of a very famous passage of Scripture. Who can tell me what is this? What are we concluding here? What's the conclusion? Brother Chris?
The Sermon on the Mount.
And just as when we, you know, preach here at our church, or an evangelist, or Pastor Townsend, me, whoever is preaching here, just as when you preach, you're preaching to draw people to a conclusion, to make a decision. That's why, you know, we have a time of invitation at the end of our services. It's to give people a chance to make a decision, to communicate with the Lord about something they need for their life. Just like the decision time Jesus brought at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, them to a decision time. Here it is. He gave them an illustration in Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not. And it was founded, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So we are told here, Jesus tells us about two different people. We don't know their name. Could have been John and George. We don't know. We don't know what their names were. But we do know the prevailing characteristic of their person. And what are they? What's the one guy he tells us about? We don't know his name, but what is he? The wise man. And the other guy is what? The foolish man, right? We're talking about the Bible gives us wisdom. This is a great illustration of that truth. In our kids' emphasis in the month of June, I kind of changed something, some things I was planning to preach. I still have never preached that message. Now that I mentioned that, think about that. I haven't preached that message I was planning to preach that night. But this for some reason came to my mind and heart. I like this story because it's one that kids learn in Sunday school from a very early age, or they learn in our bus ministry from a very early age. Even if it's not in a classroom setting, they learn it through singing, because we sing a song. I'm not going to make you sing it here early in the morning. We won't do it, but probably because I'm more embarrassed to lead it than anything. That's not my forte, but I appreciate men like Brother McKeever, Brother Ponaleo that can do that, but I hide behind them, I guess. But it's the foolish man, the wise man. It talks about the wise man built his house upon the rock, and they do these motions, and then the foolish man built his house upon the sand, and then the house on the rock stands firm, and then the house on the sand goes what? Splat. I mean, it just falls flat. And that's a great song, because it teaches a story from the Bible. It's simple, but it teaches a story from the Bible. But I often think, and I try to challenge teachers in this way, that if you're presenting something like that to a certain age group, especially younger kids, you need to kind of at some level help them understand what that means. Because, you know, how many of you either remember being little kids, or you remember having little kids, or you have them now, and you know that little kids can be very literal, can't they? All right, wise people, they must build houses on rocks. That's what God wants me to do. Go build a house on a rock. Or you know, that's how kids can think. And then furthermore, when you end, sometimes they end the song in this way, they'll say, so build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know, that's a great thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
But we need to make sure they understand what that means.
Right.
How do you do that? Well, I mean, how is he under there? I mean, what, you know, for a little kid's mind, it can be just a song that teaches the facts of a story, or we can take it a step further and help them understand in simple form exactly what that means to build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do we do that? Well, We just let Jesus do it for us, right? Look at the very first verse that we read in verse number 24. He explains exactly what it means to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, and then in verse number 20, he said, I will liken to the wise man. Look at verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. So how do we build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it's a two-step process, really. It involves the hearing of his word, right? And then it involves the doing of his word. And you know, little kids, they might think literally, what does it mean to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ? But when you explain that, that means you first hear what Jesus has to say, and then you do what Jesus has to say, suddenly the light bulbs start going on. When I say that kids can be very literal, that doesn't mean that I'm implying in any way that kids cannot understand truth when it is communicated to them. They absolutely can understand it. And so that's will be an emphasis next door in a lot of the classes on that truth. But it's also, you know what, a great reminder of us. We have everybody in this room, you have some experience now with building your life. You have experience with in every aspect, building finances. You feel like it goes splat more than it builds, maybe. I don't know, but you've got experience in it. You know, building a family. There's a lot of folks in here that have experience in that. How about building a reputation? A lot of folks here have experience in those things. And you know the importance of building things the right way, don't we? If we want to build a good reputation in our community, you know where it starts, I believe, hearing and doing. hearing what he has to say and doing it. I don't really remember where I told this at, but one of our young people in the college, somebody went on Southington Talks, which whenever I get somebody forwarding me something from Southington Talks, my soul quakes. If you don't know what that's about, it's generally not there. Southington doesn't usually talk about good things on there, but this person got on there and they were going on, and I mean, they had gone into a Subway restaurant, and it was one of our college students they were talking about, and I don't know what he did to their sandwich, but they loved it. I mean, they loved everything about what this young man did, how kind he was, and they were on a public forum just lauding him and what he did. And I think, just from reading it and knowing, I think it was simple as this. He was trying to put into practice what he had heard. Right. He was hearing and doing. And you know, that helps us to build the wise way. And so it all begins with the Word of God. So let's take a look now. Let's go to the book of Proverbs, because the Proverbs gives us a little more insight into the wise person versus the foolish person. And really, there are three types of people that we'll talk about this morning that are listed in the book of Proverbs. And a great, challenge for us all is, which one are you? And sometimes we can be a certain way in some areas of life, but there's this little sliver where we're not what we should be. It also helps us to look out, especially in this series with the connectivity of the classes and the lessons being taught. I have tried to connect us all together with our younger friends here that are in other classes. Understanding these people that Proverbs talks about can help us recognize it in younger people and help them out, maybe move from one stage to another of who they are. And so it's good to understand the different types of people. Now, the first person that we're going to talk about from Proverbs is just like the man in Jesus' story who built his house on the rock. He is the what? The wise man. Very good. The wise man. The wise man in Proverbs is characterized in this way. Look at Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. In verse number 5, it says, a wise man, what?
Will hear.
And will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So the wise man in Proverbs is characterized by one who will hear and will increase. Now, what did Jesus say about the wise man in Matthew chapter number 7? I mean, I'm sure you're shocked by this, but it's remarkably consistent with what he said in Proverbs chapter number 1. He says, it's whosoever heareth and doeth. Solomon said the wise man is the one that will hear and increase. It's the same kind of concept. The wise man takes an effort to hear and to understand and to learn. You know, we have a lot of classes that are taught here, both in the academy and both in the college. And you know, the Bible in Scripture, and I'm not letting any teacher off the hook. Teachers have a great responsibility. But the Bible puts the emphasis on the student being willing to hear. That I've had the privilege, I enjoy what I do and love what God's given us to do here, and I've been in lots and lots and lots of classroom settings here and, you know, even in other, you know, places and format. I've been in lots of classroom settings. You know, you can have the single greatest teacher in the world, not me, but I mean, I'm not talking about myself. This is an observation I've made. You can have the single greatest teacher in the world, whoever that might be, and then a class full of people who are not willing to listen, and you know what? Nothing will happen. At the same time, and again, I'm not trying to let any teacher off the hook, that's not the point, but you could have a teacher who struggles in communication or whatever, but have a classroom full of students who are willing to hear and listen, and you know what? Things happen in that classroom. They will get certain things. They will figure out, you know, certain things. Now, again, not letting the teacher off the hook. I'm saying just the act of learning, the act of education happens with wise students much more easily than they do with foolish students. And so the Proverbs describes it this way. Proverbs 14 verse 16. Go ahead and take a look at it. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16 says this. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. So a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. There's that discernment we were talking about some last week. He departs from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Look at Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. We'll look at the last part of verse number 8. Proverbs chapter number 9 and verse number 8. Rebuke a wise man, and he will what? He will love thee. Proverbs 9:8. Rebuke a wise man, the B portion of that verse. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. What did Jesus say? The wise man, he's like one that hears and he does. You know, being wise does not mean that one is perfect, right? You can have the wisest teenager in the world, but they're not perfect. They're gonna do something wrong. How they handle correction will reveal their wisdom. You know, if you look at, you know, you look at a, like as a teacher, and a teacher can be someone who stands in a classroom, but you know, a teacher is a parent. A parent is a teacher, right? A pastor, a youth worker, a bus worker. I mean, all of those are teachers. And you know, when you are looking at your population of students, whatever it might be, whether you're at work and it's your coworkers and you're instructing them in a class, or it's a mom with her children, or it's a teacher teaching 7th and 8th graders science. you always have to take the group for where they are at, right? Maybe you're not aware of this, but 7th and 8th graders aren't like 30-year-olds. Sometimes they're goofy. Sometimes they're silly. And, you know, sometimes, you know, they can make you want to pull your hair out. I mean, it's just with silliness and, you know, things like that. But that one in itself doesn't mean, oh, they're a bunch of foolish dummies. Not that you would say it that way, but that doesn't mean, you know what, it means they're at a certain stage in life. So what do they need? They need help. They need correction. They need rebuke. And you will start to see the wisdom or lack thereof in a heart by how they take that correction, how they take that rebuke. Are they willing to do things to change their behavior? You know, when you get to a certain place in life, you know, you start running thin on people who might rebuke you in this way. But there are other areas, there are other avenues of life where a rebuke can come our way. It might be from a boss. It might be from, one of the toughest workplace situations I ever dealt with is when I had a boss that I had worked with for a while, and then a new boss came in. When the new boss took over for the old boss, and I didn't think he knew what he was doing. And, you know, that kind of tests us. When they say, you know what, I want you to do it this way. Well, I've done it the other way for, you know, for forever. Well, I want you to do it this way. You know what? That wisdom or lack thereof will show itself in an area as to how we handle those things. These verses describe the type of person. We read a sampling of them. Type of person that Jesus was talking about in his story. The wise person listens in order to understand, and they understand in order to do. So they don't stop with just understanding. Understanding, getting understanding, learning facts, that's getting knowledge. You know what the Bible says about knowledge by itself? It says knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge makes our head big. It makes us proud of everything we know. But when we are learning to do, that's a totally different, that's what the wise man does. You know, the wise man's not looking to sit around in the halls of academia and just learn and learn and learn and learn so that they can boss other people around because they know more facts than everything else. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is the process of listening in order to understand. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. This is why, I know I'm kind of backing up here a little bit, but this is why parents, I think we need to be careful about how we help our young people in points of conflict dealing with other areas of authority in their life. In other words, when they come home and they're saying things like, oh, that teacher is just, well, wait a second, how we help them through that is going to help them either build a wise spirit or maybe even a foolish spirit. Say, listen, you have a job in that class. What is it? To be the student. To hear, to understand. Now, again, I'm not trying to let a teacher off the hook here. I'm just saying we have, you know, a coach and a ball player. Oh, my coach is, you know, whatever. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity there to help them grow in wisdom by helping them to see what do I need to do to understand? And I understand in order to do. So I need to listen in order to understand, and I understand in order to do. Even in reproof, that's correction. The wise person is always willing to listen and willing to learn. The second person that we learn about in Proverbs, the second dominant characteristic that we learn the first was the wise man. The second is, as you probably guessed, the foolish man. I know a lot of this is review for a lot of us, but it's good to look at. To review from last week, I'm going to read to you right from Psalm 14:1. We looked, there were two psalms that say the same thing in the first verse, 14:1 and 53:1. And here is what it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is what?
No God."
It goes on to say, "They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Now, before we go any further, let me clear this up. There is no hope for a fool in his foolishness. But there is hope for a fool. Does that make sense? There is no hope for a fool in his foolishness, but there is hope for a fool. In other words, a fool who is willing to repent of his foolishness, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You're not going to get saved proclaiming there is no God. That doesn't work. If a fool is willing to repent of his foolishness and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, or maybe there's even a backslidden person who is playing the part of a fool. They exhibit all the characteristics of one. You know what? If they will turn their life around to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will do something with them. He will help them. He will save them if they're not saved. But if a fool continues in their foolishness, there is nothing but hopelessness. There are some people that are so set in their foolishness. They refuse to hear. We talked about here. They refuse to even to hear. They then also, when maybe they are forced to hear, unfortunately sometimes this happens with young people, they refuse to try to understand. You know, it's, I hear, but I don't agree with it. And they just go off on their own way. They refuse to try to understand. When someone is not willing to hear, and they're not willing to try to understand, and they're certainly not willing to do, there is no hope for a person in that situation. Sometimes a person in that situation, what I mean is, as long as they continue with that mindset, there is no hope. And sometimes we have to understand, they're not listening. What do I need to do? I need to pray. That's really where I need to go first, to let God work on their heart. But you know, there have been many a foolish heart that has been softened by the Lord and has been turned to Him over time in prayer. I don't know how many times I've known a spouse that's prayed for their spouse that just rejected God for years and years and even decades. And that person, maybe even in the very end, they accept Christ as their Savior. Now, you say, well, boy, what a waste. Well, that's, I think, the wrong way to look at it. I think the way to look at it is what a gracious and merciful God that He will save someone at that point. But the foolish man, the essence of the foolish man is he says in his heart, there is no God. Back to Proverbs now, chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8. He says, the wise in heart will receive commandments. Very similar to what we've talked about. He will receive commandments. There's a second part. But a prating fool shall fall. A prating fool shall fall. Again here, a contrast is made regarding the word of God. The wise heart listens and receives. However, the vain talking fool, that's the word prating, has to do with a volume of words. There is a characteristic that follows the foolish person, and that's they speak a lot of words. They think they have a lot to say and a lot to add to the conversation when really there is empty substance there. The fool thinks he knows all of the answers without ever listening. You know, usually a volume of words is synonymous with vain words at some level. Because the more, you know, we say, think about in an argument, somebody just wanting to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And usually there's a lot of vanity in those words. And understand what vanity is. Vanity is the expression of something, but really there is nothing behind it. There's no substance behind it. It is a pretense. It's a pretend that there is something, but there is no substance behind it. And listen, the truth is there's a lot of foolish talking in our world today. I mean, people can say more than they've ever said before because of social media and because of the internet and then just the proliferation of outlets that are there that are vying for attention. In some realms, you know, you see people in much more innocent things than some of the things that are discussed that are very harmful. You'll see people get upset, you know, about like clickbait. They'll talk about clickbait like in YouTube or something, where somebody puts this big title up for their video, and it provokes people to click on it, and when they watch the video, they really realize there's really nothing to this. That a lot of speech now is just clickbait. It's just that. It is to get people's attention in order for them to get their attention, and then after that, there's no substance to it. It's all vanity. And so as believers, and hopefully people that aren't foolish or foolish acting, we need to be careful that we don't fall into the trap of the fool. Understand what I'm saying? You know, a saved person's capable of doing about anything a lost person's doing, and a wise person, if they're not careful, they can play the part of a fool, even if they are not one in their core. We got to be careful about falling into that pitfall of prating. We just a volume of words that mean or signify nothing. That's a characteristic of the foolish person. There are two different outcomes between the foolish man and the wise man. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You know, that's why we need to invest in the young people. We need to invest in the next generation. Because if we don't have a generation of wise young people coming up, you know what it's going to produce? It's going to produce heaviness. And unfortunately, that's, you know, we're seeing that around this in the society. It's a heaviness when people are foolish in how, just in a society. Now, he's talking here about a family, about a father, and about how a glad heart comes from a wise son, and how we might say it this way: boy, that's a proud father, you know, to see his son, you know, go off and do something that shows some wisdom, and that's certainly a great thing. But the opposite of that, there's always two different outcomes between the wise and the foolish. And I go back to what I said at the beginning of this point here, that the fool, there is no hope for the fool in his foolishness. In other words, it will always turn out bad. Now it might, we're unfortunately, the further down the road we go, we're in a society that glorifies fools as much as, I'm very carefully using that in the biblical way. I'm not using that in a spiteful, hateful way, but we have glorified everything that Proverbs calls foolish in our world. But yet, when you peel back the curtain just a little bit, you realize over and over and over again, everything Proverbs says about the fool comes to pass over and over and over again. Here's what happens, and this is why young people are so pulled by these things. You'll have a foolish person that gets a lot of attention, and they hit this zenith where, and I mean, they're making money and they're driving fancy cars and they're doing all, and they hit this zenith of all of this attention, and then the crash comes. But just as the crash is coming to that one, there's some other foolish person that is rising to this zenith. And so what happens? The attention goes from one foolish person at their zenith to the next foolish person at their zenith to the next foolish person at their zenith. And you know what? Left in the wake is all of the damage that's happened in the lives of all the other foolish people. And you know what? Nobody wants to pay for a train wreck like that. Now, they'll pay to watch the train wreck, won't they? But the fallout, you know, every bit of drama that you see on the news, you know, about some star somewhere that people kind of gets their attention, all of that is accompanied with major personal issues, major problems, major financial burdens, major heaviness to family members. It all plays out exactly like God says in His Word. And you know, if we have young people that are under our influence in some way, we need to make sure that they're aware of the negative side of the things that maybe their friends are talking about. There's a penalty to living as a foolish man. There's a third person here in Proverbs, and we'll finish up here. There's the simple man. The simple person is the one that can be easily swayed. They can go either way. They're neither wise or foolish as they stand. They hang in the balance and they could go in either direction. There's a lot of young people fall in this category. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 5 says this. Verse 14, 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. They are prone, the simple person is prone to a gullibility about life. That's why when I was talking at the beginning about the story of the wise man and the foolish man, how we need to help young people understand what the difference, you know, what that means there, is because young people can, especially real little, can be very literal, can't they? So they don't know anything about life, and so what, you know, God gave parents and God gave grandparents and got to help them learn those things. And there is this great big old lie that many, many, many parents and many, many schools and many, you know, probably even churches have bitten into over the last couple of decades that we've been long enough now to see that it's a lie, and is this, that we just need to leave them to themselves, you know, we don't want to, you know, everybody was afraid of brainwashing, you know, we don't want to do that, you know, we hands off. No, it's not how it works. As soon as we start doing that, you know what, Nickelodeon steps in and says, I'll do the brainwashing for you. The Disney Channel steps in and says, I'll do the brainwashing for you. Public television steps in and says, I'll do the brainwashing for you. YouTube steps in and says, I'll do the brainwashing for you. TikTok steps in and says, I'll do the brainwashing for you. Listen, there is no such thing as an agendaless world. So you say, well, what does that mean we're doing here? Well, our agenda is to get people to hear the word and to obey the word. That's what the agenda. The agenda is the word of God. So, aren't you afraid you're gonna brainwash or what? Listen, I'm just trying to get folks to hear the word of God, to understand in order to do. That's the pattern. And I make no excuses or no apologies about trying to do that with young people. I make no apologies for having a Christian school that teaches the things of the Lord. I make no apologies about a Bible college training young people for ministry. I make no apologies for sending buses in the neighborhoods to get young kids on there to teach them the gospel and to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can be saved and how they can live the Christian life. I make no apologies about that. And why should we? Because none of the rest of this world, they're not apologizing for it. They want to, the things that they want to cram on young people, I mean, I don't even have to go into it now. I mean, there was a time where maybe, you know, we need to warn, and we still do need to warn, but what I'm saying is, you know exactly the things I'm talking about. It's in your face. And we need to understand the simple person, and we need to protect those that are simple that are around us until they can buy into wisdom. They can see it and they can understand it. I need to finish here. Proverbs 14:18. If the simple do not learn to pursue wisdom, they will stumble into the same folly as the fool. 14:18 says, "A wrathful man stir." I got the wrong verse. Here's the verse. I put the wrong reference there. Sorry. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The simple inherit folly. You know what? The simple person, they need to know. If you follow the path of the fool, you know what you're going to inherit? You're going to inherit the fruit of the fool. The fruit of the fool is folly. So you're going to reap what you sow. If you follow the path of the fool, you're going to reap the fruit of the fool to go along with it. The simple are very susceptible to the fool who is also a scorner. We really could have put this person in a separate category. But the Bible in Proverbs also tells us about a scorner. Proverbs 21:11, when the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. So we got to be on the lookout for the scorner. You know, a teenager who's a scorner, they just scorn the things of the Lord. You know, that can have a very devastating effect on a simple person. So we need to make sure we handle those things appropriately. If you have young people in your home, warn them about the scorner. Warn them about the folly of the foolish. Warn them about the path that that leads down and what they will get. So, which category do you fall in? What steps do you need to take to gain wisdom? It's very practical. What Jesus said, hear and do.
Right.
We've got to hear to understand. We've got to understand to do. Who should you listen to? What action do you need to take? The path of the wise man leads to a stability of life that can withstand the storm.
Right.
It doesn't go splat. Just like the Lord said to the foolish man's house, it fell down. The wise man's, though, stands firm. Dear Lord, thank you for the day that you've given us.